Appreciate very much the singing, the prayer by Austin this morning as he led it to us. And we're grateful for the reading of the Word by Troy. And we're glad that you're here, but I don't want you to keep seated. I've already been requested to sing God is So Good before I start preaching. Would y'all mind standing again and let's all sing that together, okay? Here we go. God is so... Everybody... much. I'm sorry if you're visiting today that you not get to hear our new preacher. He's a great preacher. We're enjoying him so very much. And I know you'll look forward to coming back to hear him. Mike and Mary and their two boys. Hello, Sir Jackson and Sam. And boy, I'm just so thrilled to death that they've been added to our family of God here. And I just love the response that you've given them. And we just appreciate them so very much. And appreciate your coming and working with us and serving the Lord. Now then, let me suggest to you this morning that I'm going to preach one other time, hopefully in the month of February. There'll be on the third Sunday night. And I'll just tell you what I'm planning to preach. The rest of this psalm. Starting with verse 7 through verse 12. It's on prayer. So you got something now to think about, hopefully, with regards to that night. There's so many things in this psalm. I love the Old Testament. I love to study the book of Psalms. The Bible tells us in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's why. God's Word provides us with that hope. We need to study it, do everything we possibly can to learn about God. In the midst of the writings, we find in Psalms chapter 27, there's a man whose name is David, king of Israel. David had gone through some things in his life. We'll think about those in just a few moments. David had gone through some things in life that were not right with God. But David was a man that made things right when he did that which was wrong. Look in this Psalms 25 times in the first six verses, you find this personal pronoun back to him. The Lord is my life, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, we could stop there. And just look what he's saying. I've got somebody on my side. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, teed up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And then he adds, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident that God is with me. And the verse that we want to study a lot this morning is verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I'll tell you right there. Just look at it. The psalmist is saying, I want something. I desire something. And that will I seek. David, what is it that you desire? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Do what, David? That I, me, that I may dwell where? In the house of the Lord. How long, David? All the days of my life. He wanted something. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek. You want something badly? When my wife wants some ice cream, the other day I pulled over and we stopped at one of the drive-ins up there and I told him, I said, my wife wants an ice cream cone, a vanilla ice cream cone. And would you make it a big one? Boy, I tell you what, when I pulled up after paying that $1.39 plus tax, anyway, when I pulled up there, that lady was still putting that ice cream on the cone. And boy, Ed was so thrilled to get her ice cream. She wanted it. I want to tell you what here the Bible tells us. This is one thing that I want. I desire it of the Lord. And he said, that will I seek after. She'd never gotten that ice cream if I hadn't stopped. If you want something bad enough, go after it. Long after it. Desire it. And David said, I desire to the Lord that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Boy, look at that. I want to have fellowship with my God. I want to be next to my God. I want to do what? To dwell. There, underline that word dwell. Some of Brother Richardson's references sometimes. Look at that word. Dwelling. Look at it. He said, that I may dwell where? Where the house of the Lord is. In the temple of the Lord. All the days of my life. And I thought this expression, To behold, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Oh, we want to think about that. And then to inquire in the temple of our God. If you were asked by God, what one good thing would you like for me to give to you? What would you ask? What would you ask God for? In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible tells us, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And here's what God said, ask what I shall give you. If you had one thing to ask of the Lord today, what would you ask for? What would you desire above everything? I love what the Bible tells us about Solomon. And now, Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. Why, this is a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Ask anything, Solomon, God said, and I'll give it to you. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. He asked for good judgment. And look what the Bible tells you in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Would God be pleased with you, what you asked for? He was with Solomon. Why? Solomon wanted to know how to behave himself. How to have judgment to be able to judge his people. And God said unto him, because thou hast not asked for thyself long life, number one. Number two, neither hast riches for yourself. Number three, nor hast asked of thy life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I, God speaking to Solomon, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee number one. God said, you ask, and I'll do it. God said, I have given a wise and understanding heart to you, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And God said, look what he said, I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked for. Behold, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among you the kings like thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I'll also lengthen the days of your life. And now we know what God did for Solomon. David, long time ago, wanted something really bad. That will I seek after. Number one, he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. That's a beautiful thought. Today, the Bible tells us what the house of the Lord is. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We ought to do what? We ought to want to dwell. Not only desire, but do all we can to dwell in the house of the Lord. What a great day it has been for many of us to have been added to the family of God and to the house of God. In Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we're the people that are full of joy. We're happy people. Why? Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say unto you, rejoice. When you're in the Lord and you have fellowship with Him, you remember John writes in 1 John 1 and verse 7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Whatever sin you've committed, once you find God's forgiveness, it brings you joy and happiness. Why? Because we're the people of God. But notice what he says, to dwell in the house of the Lord always. He uses that expression, all the days of my life. Some of us have not done that. Sad when people give up. I remember attending over at Weatherly School, where the children were on field day and they were running around. And there this one little girl was having difficulty, and I ran over there and told her, you can make it, hon. You can make it. Keep on. Run, run. And she did. God says to us, don't you dare give up. Why? When you ask God to forgive you, look what Paul said in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Paul writing to the Philippians, that he now has the wonderful joy of knowing that he's been forgiven, and he's forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. He's running with the Lord. He's keeping attention on Him. And don't you wish Demas had done that? The Bible tells us a man who had sent greetings to the Colossians by Paul, who was in the kingdom of God in 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. He did something. What a tragic mistake. He loved this old world. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and don't ever forget it. The world passeth away, and so will we. These things that look so alluring, so wonderful, so good, we need to do what? Remember, they're only for a season. They're going to pass away. And the one who loves those things and engages in the things contrary to God's Word, those people will likewise pass away. We just never can quit. You know, when the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, Mike Richardson knew Robert Jackson really well. As a matter of fact, I think Mike said Robert really considered him as an adopted son. I want to tell you, I never heard Robert Jackson close the meeting without urging everybody to remember these words of Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. Now, friends, just look at it. We know, for as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No wonder John says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. To dwell in the house of the Lord was a desire that David had. And David said, yes, there is one thing that I desire of the Lord. That will I also seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In Psalms 90 and verse 10, the psalmist writes about life, that if you lived 70, that's 70. Or perhaps because of the reason of strength, God's blessed you, you've lived 80. That's 80. And look what David said. Then we fly away. I've always liked that song, I'll fly away. Friend, we're going to fly away. But you don't have to be 70. You don't have to be 80, 90, or whatever in order to fly away. How many have we given up even this year and last year? Of people that are just in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, gone already. But David said, this is what I want. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I hardly ever preach at a funeral service without using Psalms chapter 23. And Gabe, the psalmist writes, and that the mercy and the joy of God can be given to us all the days of our life, and we shall be with God forevermore. This is the day, therefore, that the Lord hath made. Psalms 118, verse 24. It's the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice in that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell, there's your word, in the house of the Lord forever. But look at this expression. David said, this one thing I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. What a beautiful statement. David said, I want to look upon, I want to gaze upon all those wonderful things that indeed the beauty of the Lord. Well, I was preaching a gospel meeting. You may have had this experience. But there was a piece of paper, cardboard. And on that piece of cardboard, when I got up there and looked down at the pulpit, it stated, sir, we would see Jesus. I like that. Hide behind the cross. Preach Jesus and Him crucified. Let Jesus be magnified. Sir, we would wish to see Jesus. You know, when you consider the church, look at the beauty of God. How much did the church mean to God? He loved it. He loved it so much, and His Son loved it. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesus. Take heed, therefore, yourselves into the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Do you love the church that much? Are you happy to be in the kingdom of God? What has He done for us? He loved us so much that He paid the price for our redemption. And now we're redeemed in Jesus Christ. Worship, what a joy! The psalmist writes in Psalms 122 verse 1, I was glad, not mad, not sad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. Not just a little bit. That old Brill cream, remember, just a little dab of do you. Let me tell you, if you're on the way to heaven, you want to be every time you can. Sometimes you can't. We understand. But you want to be there. Your desire will be there. And you'll do everything you possibly can to meet with God's people, to worship God, because God wants us to worship Him, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And fourthly, to inquire in His temple. Where is He? Do you remember Saul? When Jesus spoke to Saul on His way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, we're here, Saul was going to persecute the kingdom of God, but look, something happened to Saul. What was it? He heard a voice from heaven. And that voice said, this is Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He had asked. He's trembling. He says to the Lord, who art thou? And as soon as Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What did He say? He said, Lord. He called Him, Lord, what will You have me to do? He's ready now to do it. Why? Because He wants now to serve the Lord. We need to search the truth, and when we learn the truth, obey it. John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have life eternal, and they are they which testify of Me. Don't be afraid, though. You know, I've had people tell me, I just can't obey the gospel because I'm afraid that I can't live right. I'm afraid I won't last. Friend, let me tell you something. You've just begun the greatest joy and the journey you ever have when you come into the kingdom of God. When you obey the gospel, there's something special about it. You know, there was a man that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 19. And this man, he spoke to the Lord and he says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's only one, and that is God. He said, keep the commandments. And the man said, which? And Jesus enumerated 6 of them. And the young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What do I lack yet? What one thing do I need to do? Maybe that you need to do the same. Although you may not be this wealthy. This man had a lot of money. And the Bible says, Jesus said to him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast and give it to the poor. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And then come and follow Me. What did he do? He turned away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. How sad. Serve God. Don't turn away from Him. God's told so many people in the Scriptures, fear not, I'll be with you. For example, Abraham, not to fear when told that he would become a great nation, though at that very time he didn't even have a son of his own. Genesis 15 verse 1. He told Jacob not to fear moving his family into Egypt, for God would take care of him and make the nation great. Genesis 46 verse 3. He told Joshua repeatedly, Take courage. Don't be afraid, because the Lord was with him. Joshua 1, verse 9. He told Jeremiah, don't you be afraid of the task at hand, that is to speak to the nation. Jeremiah 1, verse 8. And he told Ezekiel the same thing in Ezekiel 2, and verse 6. And what does he say to us today? When Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'll be with you, Jesus echoes. I'm going to help you. I'm going to strengthen you. I met with Brother Hicks the other night, or the other afternoon. We had a great meeting. He's a fine young man. As you know, I mentioned to you that he was restored. He's here today. He's ready now to give his life in faithful service unto the Lord. Let me tell you, in order to be faithful to God, you ought to desire it. Then you want to dwell with him. You want to do everything you can to seek his will. Yes, that will I seek. In 1 John 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That's where life is. If God be for us, who then can be against us? Paul said in Romans 8, verse 31. The psalmist writes in Psalms 46, verse 1. Yes, he said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then we find in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What do you want more than anything in this world? What is it that do you and I desire? Where do you and I want to dwell? I hope, as we considered what David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Are you walking with the Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel? If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel. It's the gospel that is God's power to save, Romans 1:16. But it cannot save, it will not save those who've not obeyed it. If you're here today and you have never obeyed that gospel, hear the word, believe it, repent, confess and be baptized. And if you hear a child of God and you have not lived faithfully in the service of the Lord, then admit you're wrong. Yes, just like John writes in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The big word is if, and it's dependent upon us. Do you desire? Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, beholding the beauty of the Lord and inquiring of the Lord? If you're an erring child of God, come now. Repent and ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you. Won't you do that while together we stand and while we sing?